about Maria Gitlin? Sorry.
Good afternoon. It's great to be... Oh, I always forget how short I am. In the spring of 1965, I was a freshman at San Francisco State. Any San Francisco State people here? Yay, State! Is it still Gators? Yes. Okay. So I'm a freshman. I'm from a poor rural family, not a wealthy, privileged family. And I saw the attack on the marchers, which is known as Bloody Sunday, on television, on a classmate's television, and I just thought, that is so wrong. So I walked over to the SNCC office on campus, and they shared an office with the white SNCC, which was called Friends of SNCC. They sent me there, and I met Jeff Fried, who introduced me to this summer project that a couple people have referred to, which was the Summer Community Organizing and Political Education Project, and it was kind of like to be a VISTA program where year after year people would go back and register voters and work in the South with the people who were already there. So after four weekend trainings in Berkeley and six 14-hour-a-day orientation in Atlanta, which apparently I was one of the few fools who actually attended all the sessions, I was and am to this day known as a goody-goody trying too hard. Anyway, I was after that suddenly plunged into a county equally rural, you'd have to agree, to yours, Wilcox County, which also had one stoplight, to work on this project with a lot of local leaders and students who had been very active, very organized long before we got there. And for the past 2 years, I've been writing a memoir about this time, which is 50% my story because I wrote letters home. I had to fundraise. My family didn't give me any money to go to college or to go to the South. So I wrote letters, detailed letters home about every experience I had. And then I went back starting 2 years ago and I interviewed more than 40 people that I knew or stayed with their families. This is as yet an unpublished manuscript. I'm available to agents and publishers. Okay, so I'm going to read a very short section. And I decided to choose something that was kind of like an ordinary, just this is how ordinary voter registration was, this sort of ordinary extraordinariness of it all. The first area where I was dropped off alone was Coy, where I stayed in a small cabin that might have been whitewashed in the distant past. It had a front porch with loose boards that led into a kitchen with two small rooms on either side. At the Robinsons, there was no indoor plumbing, no electricity, and only a wood stove, both for heating and cooking, which was standard for black homes in that county at that time. I always shared a bed with another child or several children, but I was usually out canvassing from dawn till dusk for 3 days before they moved me to another area because our area was so dangerous that we never got to stay in any one house for very long. Dan Harrell, who was our SCLC, our Southern Christian Leadership Conference leader, or local leader, Ethel Brooks, would pick me up and carry me out to one of the agricultural co-ops at noon to talk to the workers about food commodities and government loans, things Dan had been talking to them about for a year, but the philosophy of the time was that they would listen more to kids from the North, which they did. It's kind of strange, but they did. I hardly knew what I was talking about, but people were very attentive. And one of the young local men who canvassed with me was 16-year-old Robert Powell, and he was very well-spoken, he was good-looking, and he had a smile that just charmed doors open for us. So the drill for canvassing was we'd go up to one of these shacks that were miles apart, and I'd stand back and he'd knock, and then he'd introduce me, or sometimes we'd both go and stand there together. And he usually knew what was going to work best with which residents. Sometimes if they only saw me, they wouldn't open the door, or they'd open it and quickly say, please go away, we don't want any trouble here. A lot of times women were at home doing laundry, farming, cooking, ironing, not only for themselves, but sometimes doing laundry and ironing that they'd taken in for white people as well. And once in a while we'd get lucky and somebody would open the door with a real smile of like, oh, my Lord, look at this. And I remember one lady, heavy set, she still had her housework rag wrapped around her head, and she said, you are the first one of them to ever set foot in this house by invitation. The sheriff came in and broke all the furniture up after my son was in the march. But you are here by invitation. You are most welcome, young lady, most welcome. So that was nice when those things happened. One afternoon, Robert wanted to stop at one of the little country stores for a soda. You've heard from Jimmy Rogers earlier how dangerous that was, and this is just a few weeks before the incident that Jimmy was involved in. We weren't supposed to go into any place where whites might see us together unless we were having some active demonstration. But I didn't want to show this teenage boy that I was afraid. We went in. There was a white man there. He threw one glance at us and took off after Robert, who took off running. Then I ran in the opposite direction. But I wasn't quite sure how to get back where I was staying. But fortunately, I did grow up in the country, so I walked along the red dirt road till I saw some trucks, and I figured out that must be where the highway was. And I had some general idea of the sun and found my host's house again. Just a few weeks later, and I was still down there at the time, on August 21st, the Reverend Jonathan Daniels was killed, and Jimmy, my dear friend Jimmy, was with him. So that's how dangerous it was to go and get a soda in a mixed group, for you students to think about that. One of my favorite places to work was Coy, because it was where Ethel Brooks lived. Ethel was only 5 years older than me, but I looked up to her as one of the most progressive and exciting adults. And I'm going to skip a little bit about describing her and just go right to the incident that most stayed in my mind about Ethel. She died, unfortunately, young. But once we were driving back from her place in the Bend area of Coy to Camden, and the Lane Butane, which was the local Klan leaders, they also had the heating and fuel company for the county, pickup trucks started chasing us with shotguns. And Ethel tried to outrun them, which was a good idea, driving faster and faster over a bumpy one-lane road. And we came to a crossroads, and there was a little Harvey's store, and she pulled into a sidetrack behind the store, and I thought, whew, we're saved. And then she pulled out and started chasing them, and she has her window rolled down, and she's screaming and yelling wildly. You know, she's 24 years old, and we're laughing, but we're also terrified and screaming at her, Ethel, stop, stop. Finally, she backed off, and they just shook their fists and glared at her like, crazy lady, we'll get you next time. She wasn't really always nonviolent, but her reckless courage made us feel a lot braver. I loved being out in the field because that's what I came there to do, and it was generally further away from the sheriff and his goons, as the locals called them, and I felt important because this was my summer job. I had been a live-in maid and I'd had babysitting jobs before, but this was like my first volunteer real summer job. And it added fuel to my fire that my white boyfriend, Bob, kept saying he was so impressed with me because all the other white girls were working in the office or working in Head Start, and I was out canvassing, being brave. So another hot afternoon, I was teamed up with Robert again, who I just, reunited with at the Selma March just a few weeks ago, which was very fun. And this is a very short concluding incident just to show you what the voter registration payoff was for doing all this. Is that we went up to the store, and he introduced me to this woman as being from Atlanta, and she didn't know Atlanta, she didn't know the U.S., she didn't know the Constitution, she didn't know anything bigger than Wilcox County, and so I was like, how am I going to get her to be willing to go sign up to register to vote? And I looked around and saw that her pump was broken, and I said, that pump is broken. You could get the whole county on water, and you could tell them what you need and what you deserve out here. And she just looked at me like, and shut the door. But the next Monday on registration day, when Robert and I passed her place on his father's mule, she was sitting out by the side of the road on a little wooden bench with her best Sunday hat squashed on and her purse on her lap. And we went by on the mule and we yelled, freedom now, freedom now. And she just nodded like this. So that's my story. I want to thank you all.